All right, time to look now through the window of baseball. We do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce Jenkins joins us. Bruce, how are you today?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How are the Bears doing?
I'm a little behind the real time, but they're at the half. They're behind 17-14. Good game. They've had
right.
some good moments.
Not bad. I like the coach. I like Wilcox. Yeah, I like him. All right, let's talk a little baseball. You and I haven't talked since the Crawford debacle the other night. I felt strongly that baseball at some point should start correcting these wrongs, and you wrote a fabulous article this week about baseball records. So let's talk a little bit about your reaction to the Crawford mistake, and also a little bit about baseball records. Are they that sacred? Can't we correct them?
Well, on the Crawford ball, I mean, it was just so apparent that it was a home run. I mean, people watching the replay knew within seconds that it was a home run, and it was being portrayed that way by Kruk and Kipe, and yet, you know, 5 minutes go by for them to get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've always felt there should be people on site handling the replays instead of throwing it back to New York, where you know somebody may not know the ground rules, or which was the case here. Mm-hmm. I know it's expensive, but this is a $9 billion industry, and things would move a lot faster. If you get the idiot headphones off the umpires and all that rigmarole, and just let a crew of on-site umpires, maybe two or three umpires, make the call, do it quickly, and get on with it. Because replay is really getting to be a drag. I mean, Bosi the other day said, you know, I liked it at first, but it's just everything is challenged. It takes forever. You know, I'm on the other side now. I could do without it. As far as the sacred records, I always found it amusing that Hack Wilson popped out of the grave to drive home a run many years after his death. He got a great bit of hitting, really, and a lot of patience for a dead guy. But that happens a lot. I mean, a lot of traditional stats mm-hmm. have been changed. I mean, I grew up, you know, memorizing that 367 for Ty Cobb, the greatest lifetime batting average, 367. Well, it was actually 366.
I mean, wow.
You know, they go back and change things. I mean, Walter Johnson had 42 walks around him, and he was dead, but I'm sure he was delighted to hear that. He walked 42 guys less than the stats said. And, you know, then it gets down to what Giancarlo Stanton is doing. I mean, there's a Babe Ruth crowd for 60 homers and 154. There's a Roger Maris crowd. And, you know, there's a McGuire and Sosa crowd, and then all of a sudden Bonds comes in, which, is, of course, is the record. I mean, there's really no arguing, but a lot of people dismiss this and that, and it'll be interesting to see if Stan gets around 60, 61, 62 and see how that plays out.
Yeah, Bruce, in fact, Marty and I were talking about going back and changing numbers. Brandon Crawford gave him another home run and a couple of RBI, and then Marty suggested even the famous James Jim Joyce. I'm thinking of the great Irish poet James Joyce. Jim Joyce and the perfect game miscue. To me, that one's a little more gray, because the whole thing about the all-encompassing perfect game where you grab the catcher and you celebrate with your teammates, that's the majesty of a perfect game. Where do you stand on something like that, Bruce?
Well, I mean, that was such a bad error that, you know, replay was really called out for. You had to have it there. I mean, I hate to see the last play of a game, you know, come down to that where everybody's waiting around.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do think there's a place for it. It's just so many times it gets out of hand that the plays at second base are completely worthless. You know, whether it was a neighborhood play where the second baseman was an inch off the bag, or right. the guy sliding in came off the bag for like a tenth of a second. That stuff is just nonsense.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, and I say, look, the guy deserved the perfect game.
Yeah,
make it right.
Yeah.
Who's going to argue?
Right, exactly. You know, it's a perfect game.
Yeah, no one's going to – and in 30 years, Pat said, well, it takes away from the excitement.
A little bit.
In 30 years, the guy's name is on the list, and no one's even thinking about it.
You may be right.
I mean, he totally earned it. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, I think we've settled that.
Well, let me ask Bruce just one more thing on the Crawford
thing. Go ahead.
And I got criticized yesterday because I went after the kid, Eric, that got in the mix. And, look, I know his heart wasn't – there was no malice in his heart. But just that we've seen it enough times here at AT&T where there's fan interference, right, Bruce? And there was a split committee in the postgame wrap Thursday night where Mike Kruko said you can't knock the fan. Dwayne Kuiper, he was of the opinion that just stay away from the ball. Where do you come down, Bruce?
Well, if you're in the arcade and you know that tin roof is still a home run and that's about as far as you can reach, you know that you're not going to disrupt anything. Certainly, there won't be a fielder involved. So, I mean, in that particular case, if you lean over and whatever you do, it's still going to be a home run because that little roof area is a home run. Whether he knows that or not, I don't know. But where it comes into play more is in other parks where you can reach over, maybe even take the ball away from the fielder, and that's when, you know, fans, it's just out of line. And you wish that they would back off. That's never going to happen.
Right.
But they might think that going in, but all of a sudden you're out there with your kid, you know, and you want to impress him or maybe your girlfriend or whatever, and you want to grab that ball. You want to make the grab.
Well,
so it's hard to stop.
Yeah, you become part of the game. You know, it's like getting an autograph, shaking a hand. It allows you to cross that invisible line.
But you don't see it in any other sport. I can't think of another sport where the players interact with live action.
No, there's no great shakes in catching a basketball that goes out of bounds.
How about getting hit?
What are you going to run off and take it home?
Well, what about catching a golf ball?
Well, that's by mistake.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, somebody hits a ball into a crowd. You have no idea what happens in there.
Right. Okay. Can you imagine?
Right. I'd like to see somebody toss in an exploding ball, quickly put it down onto the turf, and when the guy lines up his next shot, there's a big puff of smoke when he hits it.
Nice.
Oh, goodness. Baseball. Johnny Cueto last night, Bruce. What was your impression of him?
Well, I kind of cringed to see him out there, really. I mean, he looked pretty good. I mean, this guy's had blister issues and forearm issues. It sounds like he's going to come back, which I think is great. It makes me a little bit nervous that he's throwing these meaningless games. It's hard, though. It's hard to shut a guy down when there's a month to go. You know, he's not a young guy. He knows he's not going to pitch forever. And, you know, he wants to compete. He wants to get it's game day, and it's his start. And I don't think he hurt his arm at all. But and Melanson, too. I mean, you know, he's a guy that's due for surgery, and I just really cringe watching him throw everything. His stuff is not what it should be. And shouldn't be out there.
No, that one, I just can't get the reasoning to put him out there. He's not right. We're watching him. It's not what we saw last year. And he's going for surgery.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like he's going to Cabo San Lucas. He's going for surgery.
Yeah.
And, you know, get it done. They say whatever, 6 to 8 weeks. Who knows? Maybe it doesn't go that well and they have to go in again. You never know. I mean, just you know, play it cautiously. Get the arm 100% and then you come back for spring training.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Some pennant races are getting to be interesting. I love this Brewer-Cardinal thing, chasing the Cubs. You know, this is what baseball is all about. And I know you're going to write something about it one of these days about some of these races that are going on.
Yeah.
You've got all of a sudden Cleveland is chasing Houston for the home field. You know, that's not a done deal. Houston lost all those games. So I think we've got some exciting September, not here necessarily, but in baseball.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, yeah, Cleveland, I think, is like 2.5 behind the Astros now. And, of course, the Astros, anything having to do with the Astros at home is a story that's hard not to pull for. I mean, I would love to see the Astros get the home field for everything. You know, give that city as much life as it can possibly get in the postseason. They've got a real good chance to go all the way. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, the Cleveland's tough. They swept a doubleheader yesterday. Everybody knows how good they are. Their pitching's coming around. They slugged the ball Lindor and Encarnacion and everything else. And Houston, we know they're tremendously exciting. They pick up Verlander. So yeah, that's a race that's really going to be worth watching. It hasn't really been talked about till just lately.
Yeah, Bruce, that Justin Verlander thing that kind of snuck in late Thursday night. I mean, to me, I was thinking, boy, Justin Verlander's not the pitcher he was. And then I looked a little bit closer at the numbers. In his last 11 starts, he's got a 2.31 ERA. His average fastball velocity is up, 10th best in baseball. I mean, this guy's been incredible in the second half. The second best whip, he's got the exact, in the second half of the season, the same ERA in the second half as Corey Kluber. He may end up being the best acquisition since it all went down.
Yeah, maybe even bigger than Darvish. I mean, you know, that we remember him around here for just completely shutting down the A's in those division series a few years ago. And he's throwing 100. He gave up one run in 31 innings over the two division series. I mean, he was just absolutely crushed their World Series dreams. And he's not throwing 100, but he's throwing 97. I mean, that's plenty of good heat. And he's an unbelievable competitor.
Well,
now he's coming into this great situation. There's so much emotion surrounding it. And to put him in there with you know, McCullers, I mean, And Keuchel, that's a huge boost for them, especially, you know, the Astros haven't been playing well. They're wondering what's going on back home. Now they're finally there, and they get Verlander. So it's a real good weekend for them.
Yeah, and as I've said before many times, you know, if your guy doesn't win that first game, you better have somebody in the second game. And if it's Keuchel in the first game and he doesn't win it, well, then you better have Verlander in the second game. And that's, to me, that's the difference in a playoff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I just wonder if Kershaw were to lose the opener of their series, which after looking at him last night, that doesn't seem likely. But if it did happen, you know, would they come back with Darvish or would they go Rich Hill? Or it'd be interesting to see how they played that. And if they lose game two without Darvish, they go, well, they should have pitched Darvish. And it could be a huge controversy in L.A. after this sweet season. All of a sudden, everybody's bickering.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Hey, have a great day, Bruce, as usual.
Thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Right on, Bruce.
Yeah, and Bruce, okay. I want you to – we'll talk Snuffy Sternweis tomorrow.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, just know that, you know, today his name was George. Today his nickname would be G-Stir. So thank God he played in those times when guys were named Spider and Spud
and Cookie.
Bobo and Yogi.
Bobo. I love it.
And Cookie. And by the way, how did Cookie Lavigetto get his nickname?
Go ahead.
His manager, the owner of the Oakland Elks, was Cookie DiVincenzi. And he liked Cookie, he liked Harry Lavigetto so much that the teammates called him Cookie because he was Harry's boy.
Ah, that went over big in the Italian neighborhood.
Right, and that's how he got the nickname of Cookie.
Beautiful.
Looky, looky, here comes Cookie. That's what they used to say. I love it. I like these stories. I that's what makes baseball.
Yeah.
I love
absolutely.
It. All right, have a good afternoon.
Arrivederci, Bruce.
Right. You bet.
Very good.